And how's it going?
It's going pretty good, actually. I was actually a little bit confused about the time scheduling. I was told 6 o'clock, it's only 5 here, but I forgot you guys are an hour ahead, so sorry I missed you guys' call.
No, not a problem, man. Well, we were just debating, and I know this is not the sport you're participating in, but, you know, LeBron James versus Michael Jordan, that whole debate that's going on. And who's the best player? Who's the best player, Jorge?
We all know Jordan. Man.
Jordan's the best. Oh, come on, man.
Yeah.
Really?
The greatest, man. I'm from the Midwest, man. Chicagoland area, you know. Mike's the best, man. LeBron's good, man. He's the greatest of his era, for sure. But we talking about GOAT? No, Mike's got him, man.
Well, you bring up a good point, too, and we're a CBS Sports affiliate, so we have Jim Rome on, and he said it's nearly impossible to compare players in different eras, and it's really not fair to do so because the game is completely different from when he played as opposed to when LeBron plays. You just can't compare eras right now.
Exactly.
Who's the best fighter you've ever seen?
Witness?
Witnessed and of all time, in your opinion.
A lot of people probably hate me for saying this, but George St. Pierre, just because, my opinion, before I would say Anderson Silva.
Mm-hmm.
And before his PED problem. That's separate. But as far as George St. Pierre goes, he's the most complete fighter in the game. He can stand, he can wrestle, he can do jiu-jitsu. His karate is, black belt level, I think, in jiu-jitsu as well. So, I mean, he's what I would call, like, the perfect fighter as far as that goes. And he never had any PED issues. Mighty Mouse is also right there, though. He just doesn't put the numbers together as far as pay-per-view goes. I mean, I guess that's one of his issues. But other than that, the dude's most probably complete fighter that still competes as far as that goes. So I'd say Demetrius Johnson probably right now the best fighter that's competing.
You're going to be part of a card that is historic, Jorge. I mean, 12 bouts, first ever sanctioned, or the first sanctioned bare-knuckle fighting in 120 years. What's that mean to you? What's that like, knowing that you're going to be part of history coming up on Saturday here in Cheyenne?
That's pretty much what drove me to get on this and try to be a part of this. A teammate of mine is actually a former teammate of mine is actually in the heavyweight tournament. He moved from the area. He's now training in Las Vegas, Arnold Adams. And I had seen he was competing in the tournament. I just mentioned, hey, man, that'd be awesome, something to get into. And he was, hey, reach out to him. You know, he knows I competed in jiu-jitsu, Muay Thai, MMA, and professional boxing. So, I mean, it's kind of right up my alley. So, fighting without gloves, I mean, everyone talks about it. Oh, I would do this, I would do that, but, I mean, at the end of the day, a lot of guys just sell wolf tickets, like my opponent that I did have first, because apparently now he's no longer involved in it, so now I have an opponent switch. So, changing game plans, changing the way everything goes with my camp really isn't much different now. I'm just fighting a bigger opponent, and it's a smarter style of fighting, I want to say. In my opinion.
So you mentioned a change in opponent. Is it not Brandon? And I'm trying to sound out his last name. Brandon Cheverfield, I guess. Who is your opponent now?
Yes, Mr. Cheverfield is out. Now I'm fighting Bellator veteran Chris Harris. I think he's 5-1 MMA, and I can't recall his boxing record off the top of my head, but he is a very, 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 very experienced fighter. He's a bigger fighter. His last fight, I want to say, I've seen at Bellator, was at 185. So he's coming down to 70. I'm coming up. I'm usually a featherweight in MMA. I fight usually lightweight, 155. So this is a big weight jump. I've been getting ready. Mr. Cheverfield and I were supposed to meet at 160. But, again, due to the opponent change, now we're going with it, man. I can't miss out on this opportunity. Like you said, this is a historical event. I've been preparing for it, so it's not like the opponent change is going to be a big shock or anything. Yes, he's bigger, but, I mean, bigger they are, the harder they fall, right? David slept Goliath with a stone and dropped him, so, hey, let's see if these little hands will get him.
Aside from just the opportunity to be part of history, what was it that attracted you to bare knuckle fighting?
I'm a huge Bobby Gunn fan. Before I knew any of this, so like getting to meet him is gonna be dope. But I mean, it's bare knuckle boxing. Like I said, I'm from Gary, Indiana. We box in the neighborhood all the time without gloves. Everybody's always scrapping. Everybody's always throwing hands. So, I mean, everyone talks about how good their hands are. Everybody talks about how good this is. Or if I had these gloves, or if I didn't have gloves. And I mean, it's always. I'm always pushing myself to do things that a lot of people would be uncomfortable doing in my position. I never had any combat experience. I started fighting 10 years ago. Had my first fight against an MMA fighter. He was 11-1, I want to say. I lost to him, but I learned a lot. It was a quick rear naked choke he got me, and I started training with him and his family. And within the first year, I had 13, 14 fights. Just was fighting every other weekend or every month if I could, and I fell in love with fighting. So first chance I got there, you want to do a jiu-jitsu tournament? Of course. Next chance it was, hey, there's a Muay Thai thing. Yes. Hey, once I turned pro in MMA, maybe a year into being pro, hey, you want to do some pro boxing? Like, of course. So I don't know, maybe just chasing a childhood dream or whatever you want to call it, but. Living my second childhood, I call it.
You described bare knuckle as a smarter style of fighting. What makes you say that?
I believe it's a smarter style of fighting because I've fought a lot of pro boxers and MMA fighters as well, and you can throw how you want to with a glove on. You can't throw how you want to without a glove. You really got to pick your shots, I mean, unless you want to break your hands. You dig to the body without a glove, and try to use like the inner of your palm, or I see a lot of guys, they'll throw their hook and they'll land the inner of their glove. You do that bare knuckle on my elbow, you're gonna break it. You throw a straight down the, you throw a straight right at me, and I duck my head too much, and you hit the top of my head, you may break your hand if you didn't throw that punch right. So I believe the fighters are gonna be, every fighter that's fighting tomorrow or this weekend, they're gonna be fighting a lot smarter. I see that's a topic also on all the social media. Oh, how many guys are going to break their hands, and how many? I mean, it's a scary thing to throw without bare knuckles, especially the guys who are used to not throwing with small gloves or just never threw in a real fight at all. So a lot of the athletes, I think they'll have a problem with it, but the real fighters won't. They'll just be a little smarter about throwing where they're going to throw and when they're going to throw.
Good stuff. Hey, man, we appreciate the time. Again, Jorge Gonzalez, you'll be part of the Bare Knuckle Fighting Championships, the beginning at the Cheyenne Ison Event Center, June 2nd. First sanctioned bare knuckle fighting since 1889. Going to be a lot of fun. We're looking forward to the card. Looking forward to seeing you as well. Enjoy your stay, man, and we'll see you this weekend. Thank you so much.
I can't wait. Thank you guys for having me.
You bet. Take care.